correction, and also ensuring that the issues were addressed at the staffing level with the caregivers, as well as working with the owner of the residential home to ensure that the plan of correction was done. She was involved in that process.
She's responsible to do it.
She understood. Yes, we understand that she has that obligation.
So my question again is going to be to the licensee. I appreciate that you're her attorney, but I'm speaking directly to the licensee and would like a response from her as to why you did not follow up with this board.
I did follow up.
I believe Mr. Eden said, am I correct, sir? Mr. Eden, you did not get a response from her.
There is no response in this packet. Oh.
Yes, so I follow up with an email and said, stating that I was sick.
Do you have an email?
In my computer, I
do. Do you have an email, sir?
I don't have a copy of it. I was retained late last week because of the board meeting. We're here in good faith to try to address the issues with the board. Obviously, sometimes a licensee, because of health issues, plus Ms. McGee also has, English is not her primary language at times, and so that's why I was retained to assist her through this process.
Sure.
So, I mean, we're here, we can provide, if the board requires a supplemental response, we're happy to provide a written supplemental response outlining the issues. More specifically, if the board feels like they need to table this case to get more information from the licensee, we're happy to do that.
So can you explain quickly why your residents were left in the care of someone who did not speak English?
She spoke broken English, and I'm always on call, on the phone. She needed me, she could call me. I was sick, and I couldn't be with them. And she was just trying to help.
I will go back and ask, what does Article 8, which we're bound to, stipulate in the regulation for language?
I understand that.
I'm asking a specific question. What does Article 8 stipulate?
The caregiver should speak English properly. Yes.
They must be able to speak proficiently in English.
Yes, but being sick, the well-being of my residents was number one, and I couldn't be there.
I understand, but nowhere in the article does it say except for times when. It just says specifically.
Well, so it is understandable, and due to the condition of COVID and being so transmittable, to be in the facility exposing my residents to that virus.
The issue that I take with this case is, are these Altec residents or are they private pay?
Both.
They're both. So the government's giving you money to take care of these residents. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Correct.
These residents and the government, us, are paying for that care. The care provides that there's going to be someone that's certified caring for them. No one was.
There was.
And there were several articles that were violated in DHS Article 8.
There was a caregiver certified during the day. That happened at night. That I couldn't be there.
It matters not what time.
It does. It does matter.
Mr. Vice President, I agree with you, and that's why we're here today to try to address these. And we believe that the plan of correction addressed those appropriately. DHS didn't take any further action against the license for the facility. I understand we're here to regulate the manager. And Ms. McGee attempted, I think, in good faith to try to comply. I understand it's a shall. I think we all understand that. But I think we also understand that this is an extenuating circumstance that we're living in. When she has COVID, she can't go to the facility. She understands that it's her responsibility to make sure that she has an English-speaking, proficient caregiver on staff, and there simply was a breakdown in communication at this point in time. Those issues, she's aware of it, she's made the changes, the facility's not had any other ongoing issues here, and DHS closed its investigation on this issue. And so, I acknowledge the seriousness of the questions you're raising, and that's why we're here, that's why she's coming out of pocket paying an attorney to try to address these issues, to make sure that the board understands that Ms. McGee and the facility are taking these things very seriously.
Correct, because the board, we have to ensure the health and safety of every resident to the managers or administrators that be licensed. Is this individual, the one that we're speaking of, is that the one that did not have a personnel record?
No.
So it was a different individual?
It's different.
So you had an individual who is not proficient in English, You have no one there that's licensed or certified to care for the...
There was somebody there, licensed, certified.
Residents were left alone with a caregiver who was unable to communicate in English. They were left alone with an employee who was not a trained caregiver. This is something...
I believe that was the evening person that Ms. McGee was... I believe that was the evening person Ms. McGee was talking about, that she had a licensed caregiver on site during the day. During the evening hours, when she was unable to be there, she had someone with broken English who was there on site, who was not...
So who's the one that was not trained?
I think that, that, I believe that's the same person who was there during the evening.
So again, there's no one that's trained to care for the resident that's approved as a certified caregiver caring for the resident. I will tell you, I take issue with that.
And Mr. Vice President, I again, we agree with you that, there is an issue here. Ms. McGee, as the manager, is responsible for doing that. She's taken the corrective steps to ensure that's happened, as indicated in the plan of action. Again, those documents were not submitted to the board, and we acknowledge that. We're happy to supply that information to the board, indicating that steps have been taken, penalties have been paid, and heads have rolled. We've made those corrections. And so I acknowledge the seriousness of the issues that you're raising, sir. And I think those issues have been remediated.
Any questions?
I think so. Do any of these people still work there, or have they been subsequently trained?
They're not working there anymore.
They're not, so you have other caregivers now, even at night?
Yes,
tonight. Or certified?
Certified caregivers, but the English is speaking, yeah.
Okay. This is for me. So, again, when you were noticed of this meeting or to prepare for this meeting, and didn't you said you responded by email?
Yes, I did.
Saying that you were sick. Do we have that email?
I just looked, I couldn't find it.
No, and I'm wondering if she sent it to DHS.
Is it possible that you sent it to DHS instead of to this board?
I did respond to the DHS, yes.
Okay.
They're a separate entity than us.
I think that might be a little miscommunication occurred.
I believe that could be correct.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I'm prepared to make a motion based upon the information contained in the investigative report and the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3 and ARS 446.10A, CR 433.407A1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 21-84 involving manager Loretta McGee, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days for that to be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certification, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement and investigative cost of $331. 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas: personnel requirements, any costs in probation or those of the student holder.
What about service plans?
Okay, and I will amend that to include service plans. 3 hours for service plans as well.
So I'm sorry, that was read fairly quickly. So it's the consent agreement is suspension with a stay while it's on probation, 3 hours of continuing education in the areas previously indicated, and then payment of the board's costs in this matter.
All right.
And then board staff, I'll send my email contact information to board staff so you can send the consent agreement to my attention directly.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
I second the motion.
Roll call, please.
Second. Yeah, second.
I did.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Board Member Stephen?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
And President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you, members of the board.
Thank you. We gotta use that suspension shit. What's not clear?
All right, we're going down the list, and the next person up that has signed in is Gia Seidel.
As long as you complete the requirements within 3 months. Otherwise, the state comes off.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Gia Seidel.
Your name first.
Gia Seidel. Now it's Gia Sun.
All right, just a moment.
Could we ever use the microphone?
Yes. Put the microphone over to you now. Tell us your name again.
My name is Gia Seidel.
Okay, thank you.
Gia.
All right, just a moment. Brian, would you present the case, please?
Yes. This is going to be case 2188. On June 17, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility containment investigation at the Villa at Tucky Lane, located at 906 East Tucky Lane in Phoenix, Arizona. Gia Seidel was identified by DHS as the manager of record for this facility. The complaint investigation identified 8 deficiencies in 6 different areas. On November 1st, 2021, Ms. Seidel provided her written response to the notice of complaint. In her written response, she stated she was not the manager at the time of the inspection. Board staff reached out on November 26, 2021 to follow up. Ms. Seidel responded to board staff on December 12, 2021, stating there was an error in her written response, and she was the manager of the facility at the time of the inspection. The facility is licensed for 10 residents, and at the time of the inspection, the census was 10. Ms. Seidel manages a second facility, which is Sierra Visit Assisted Living. Sierra Visit Assisted Living. She said she works 12 hours a day, Monday through Friday. She stated that the personnel deficiencies were cited because one of the employees had just started working at the facility. The facility took, I'm sorry for reading this whole investigation, I shouldn't be going. On approximately July 21st, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 upon the facility licensee, the Villa Tucky Lane LLC, for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure 3 employees had personnel records.
All right, thank you. All right, Ms. Seidel, would you like to read your statement now?
Statement?
Do you want to tell us why you did not have these personnel records in-house when the investigator came?
Okay. I'm sorry. I did not do a good job. I'm so sorry.
You have to speak into the mic because we can't hear you.
And this time, do I need to tell us how many people are visiting?
No. There's 3 records that we're missing. Can you tell us why?
Oh, which is the lead record? Can you let me know?
No, ma'am. It's not our job to tell you what your deficiency was.
Oh.
You received a deficiency from the Department of Health Services. It is your job to come here prepared today to defend your certification. The question for Madam President was, why did you have 3 employees there with no service, no employee file?
Oh, this one is the first has the letters E, 6E, whose name called Amanda
just the initial.
Okay. It's IL.
All right.
And she is was its manager, not manager, it's my it's, owner, it's, he interviewed her. And she didn't give us application. I always ask her, I say, you need to give me application. She said, I will. I will call its owner. But she said, no, I'm not. I just keep talking to her. I said, you need to give. She just said, I will. But I go to this facility 1 week, just 12 hours. I'm not every day, you know.
But do you check the records? Because you're the person that's responsible for all the personnel records of any employees that are in the facility that you are managing.
I know.
And DHS came on site and three of your eight employees did not have a personnel record.
I know.
There, and one didn't have a fingerprint clearance card. And you're responsible to check and make sure that they're there.
I'm sorry, this is my form. I told them, because I told them as owner, I said they need. I keep asking, but they still not give to me.
Does the owner hire and fire the employees?
Yes. And I'm new, I'm so sorry. I was behind his man, 20s. This is the card, it's 618, you know. I'm sorry.
How long have you been in that facility?
About 1 month.
4 months?
No, one.
1 month?
Yeah.
When the inspection occurred?
It's 618. But I hired me, they hired me May 20. I go over there, I'm learning, you know, lots of learning. I told Moses, I always told Moses, you need a period, give it to me, you know. Of course, it's my responsibility. I'm sorry.
So have these, do you have the records now?
I'm adding the record with me, it's in my computer, you want to give to me?
No, I'm just asking if you have them. Did the owner fill out their personnel file?
Yeah, now it's they have.
Now you have that?
They filled it, yeah. They filled this application we give to this E6 they already is complained that this, yeah.
And is the owner a certified man, a certified caregiver?
But one thing is E4, he has his assistant, you know, he left, his server was go over there, he's scared. He took out the application, left.
One of the employees did.
Yeah, he took the application. I was in the California because of my family issue, you know. Then they told me we try to find him, we can find him. He took the everything.
So he left the facility, took his application with him, and he doesn't work there anymore?
No.
He just left?
She just left.
Okay.
I think he's mixed.
But he must have been on the schedule to work.
Yeah.
And was classified as one of your employees. Otherwise, DHS wouldn't have mentioned that.
Yeah, he left.
Okay. Now what about the fingerprint card?
Oh, this guy, he said we have this fingerprint in the file.
And did you verify that?
We did.
That it's valid or not valid?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is, I'm not there, it's the Moses did.
Is the fingerprint card good? Is it registered with?
I checked it, it's okay.
You did, how did you do that?
They copied, he has copied.
And how did you verify that it was okay?
I'm sorry, I just guess.
What does the regulation stipulate on the timeline for you to validate a fingerprint clearance card from the time that someone submits an application?
No.
I'm asking a specific question.
Mm.
What does the regulation say the time frame for you to validate a fingerprint clearance card once you hire someone?
Oh, I'm so rich.
Would you please keep the conversations down in the room because we can hear you talking up here, please?
Okay.
So no, not you, the audience. You keep talking.
How long have you been a manager?
It's my, not only this manager job, you said different.
How long have you had your certificate as a manager?
I got it 2013.
2011.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
2011, okay.
All right, what's the board's wishes on this one?
And we had verification she was only there 1 month before DHS came in?
Yeah, it was May 2021. I'm new, you know. I don't know if this facility is okay, you know. I'm sorry.
When you became employed by this facility, did you notify the board?
By board?
Did you notify this board you was now the licensed or certified manager of that facility? Did you notify the board?
Yeah.
What does the reg say to notify us?
Are you seeing the interest get higher on 5/20 or 21?
Okay. And was the board notified?
I'll have to look to a sales force for that. I just knew there was a previous manager before her, Phoenix Jose Armonte.
I have a question regarding the two facilities you manage.
Yes.
Were you employed by Sierra Vista or Sierra Visit?
Yes, Sierra Vista.
Prior to your employment at the villa?
Yeah, we leasing another one, Maria Carlo Benz.
So you were already at one, and then you got hired for this current one that you're having difficulties with?
No, I was sleeping for me. I work too.
You work both of them. I understand that.
Yeah.
When were you hired for Sierra Visit? That's the second one.
You said this is Sierra Visit. I hired it a long time ago for me. It's because I own this group.
So the owner of the villa at Tucky Lane reached out to you to hire you also?
Yes.
Shortly before the state inspection occurred. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Does the owner of the villa at Tucky Lane own Sierra Visit assisted living as well?
No, they don't own.
No, so they're separate?
Separate.
Okay.
Did I hear you correctly? You own the Sierra?
Yes.
That's
okay. I own.
Okay.
I will say, Madam President and fellow board members, I'm concerned. She's had her licenses or certification since 2011, and she cannot answer any question related to a regulation, a timeline, what's needed. It's concerning. I know that she was only there for 1 month, but she owns and operates another facility. I'm just, for my comfort level, I would say she'd have to go back through the manager training course.
All right,
okay. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3 and ARS 446N, AACR 433-407A and B1 for professional conduct and complaint number 21-88 involving manager Jaya Saddell, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before it formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $414, completion of a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion, successfully passed the state examination for managers administered by the board, and any cost of the probation of those of the certificate holder.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved to second. Roll call, please. Thanks, Fred. Roll call?
Yeah.
Vice President Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Board Member Stephen?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye. Jack, is your microphone off? I can't hear you very well.
No, it's on. And
okay.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much.
So we're going to send you some paperwork, consent agreement. If you have questions when you receive that, let us know. Let me know, okay?
Can I ask one question?
Not right now.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up is 2190 Bernadette Reyes. Please identify yourself.
Hi. I'm Bernadette Reyes.
Thank you. Would you present your case, please, Brandon?
This is case 2190. On June 1st, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Nurse Birdie's Adult Family Home located at 2406 South Pecan Drive in Chandler, Arizona. Bernadette Reyes was identified by DHS as the manager of record for the facility. The compliance inspection identified seven deficiencies in five different areas. On November 3rd, 2021, Ms. Reyes provided her written response to the note of complaint. She acknowledged being the facility manager of record, and she is the owner of the home. She states she was not manager of the second facility. On approximately July 16, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee for the following two substantiated violations. The manager failed to ensure one employee had documentation of CPR and first aid training. And number two, the manager failed to ensure one volunteer had a personnel record. That's one. Close your
mouth. All right, thank you very much. Ms. Reyes, were you present at the time of the inspection?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And yours, at that time, how many residents did you have in your home?
I have four.
You have four. All right. Would you like to explain why you did not have some of the personnel records that you needed to have?
At that time, A3, she is my son's ex-wife and just wanted to be a caregiver. So she is volunteering, but she is watching. She's she did not have any contact with any of the residents. She's just watching over if she is able to make it or do it according to what is going on inside the home. It's not an excuse. I know that, you know, I should have all their personal records before they should start working there. We were just trying to show what it's like to be a caregiver, what it's like to be working at the home, what are your responsibilities to be being in the home and how to care for residents. So at that time she was just helping in the kitchen. But since the inspection, I have them do the caregiver, do the CPR, do their health records and everything within 2 weeks.
All right, and what about the fail to ensure one employee had a documentation, CPR?
E2 is my son. He has been helping us during, since I claimed the, or I bought the business, help with the yard work and whatnot. He's never had any contact also with any of my residents. But taking care of a resident or a patient is not kind of new for him because he also took care of my mom. But if that's case, it's not, again, an excuse. But since COVID also, he has not been inside the facility or inside the home. He has just been doing yard work outside. But then he lost his job. So I said, well, you know, you could be a caregiver. I could, you know, work here. So I was showing him, shadowing what also is a caregiver is and whatnot, and what entails to be, you know, working inside and whatnot with, you know, a healthcare worker. So
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So if somebody is, I think there's a difference between somebody who's just observing, somebody who might be doing dishes, even if, were they working, were they there for free?
Or yes, they being the volunteer, yes.
So what are the requirements that a volunteer has to have?
Well, requirements, we did, I do have an addendum for policy and procedure, what volunteer qualifications are and whatnot, and I did submit that also.
And what are those?
But then, like I said, I forgot. They should have also their, I don't know if I remember, they have to have their CPR. Oh, yes, we just have the approval for volunteer work, sorry. But.
And so what do they need to have in their personnel file if they're a volunteer?
Well, they have to have the information, they have to have a CPR, they have to also have their TB test and everything, and that's all. Am I missing anything? Sorry. But Eventually, I also had him do his caregiver training. He passed that in within 2 weeks. He has a CBR, he has his.
So did the surveyor see him or was he on the schedule?
He was there at that time, correct.
Okay.
Was he on the schedule?
No, he's not on the schedule.
He was just in the building.
He was just in the building, correct.
Okay. What's the pleasure?
Was he working for you inside, outside, at any point in time?
At that time?
Mm-hmm.
He was just outside. He just finished doing yard work outside. And unfortunately, at that time when Patricia came in, he was inside to get some water and then, yeah. So.
Did he have a fingerprint clearance card? Because I'm assuming he would be like your maintenance person if he's doing yard work.
No, I don't have his fingerprint clearance card.
And what about your volunteer? Did she have a fingerprint?
Oh, no, the caregiver, the E3 has. Yeah, the volunteer, I don't have his fingerprint for it. Yeah, my son, yeah.
Is employee two and three mentioned in the report? Are they still employed at the facility?
Correct. They all, they don't have a caregiver.
That was there at the time of the inspection.
Correct. There, yeah.
So when you say all the training is in place and done and documentation accomplished, at this point it is for those employees. Do you have any other employees you've hired since that time?
No.
I think that she has, and again with the COVID and everything, she had her son there, she had the volunteer there. It sounds like family were helping out to maintain. I would be comfortable with a letter of concern that the manager failed to maintain adequate records because she has put them through certified caregiver training and followed up on it. She was trying to provide the best care she could, I think, during some constraints. And she understands her mistakes and that she has absolutely fixed these items based on the information that she's given us. I mean, that was a very thorough report that was provided to us.
All right, is there a second?
I mean, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with the letter of concern.
So I would move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 21-90 against manager
Bernadette
Reyes, but issue a letter of concern that the board's concern is that the manager failed to properly maintain employee files.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for a letter of concern. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Board Member Steven?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Thank you. Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
And President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is Virginia Dendidro here? They're not signed in. Virginia Dendidro.
What about Jeanette Ellison? All right, we're going to move to Mariana Ballin. Balin?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello.
All right, would you give the name, please?
Mariana Ballin.
Would you spell your last name for me?
B-A-L-A-N.
B-A-L-A-N. Thank you very much. All right, Stan,
want to
present, please?
Yes, this is case 21-95. On July 2nd, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Dream Street Care, LLC, located at 37412 North Dream Street in Carefree, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified four deficiencies in three different areas. Mariana Balin was identified by DHS as the manager of record for the facility. On October 26, 2021, Ms. Balin provided her response to the notice of complaint. She verified she was the manager at the time of the inspection. She also manages T and Y Wolf Assisted Living, which is located in Phoenix, Arizona. On approximately July 28th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil fine penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. One resident did not have a service plan. That's my conclusion.
All right. Were you there at the time of the inspection, Ms. Bailey?
Yes, I was.
Can you tell us why you didn't have a service plan reviewed?
Yes, that resident was on hospice, and I helped completing the care plan with the hospice. And I was trying to save the family some money and didn't have a care plan on the house, but I was following and working with hospice on the care plan, and that was on file, but it was not accepted by the health department, and since then I was completing the care plans for everybody according to their level of care.
And a resident's service plan wasn't reviewed and updated?
That was the same reason. I was just trying to save them some money. And
you were what?
I was trying to save the family some money because they are responsible to pay for the care plans.
Okay.
And sometimes they're reluctant to do that. And I just give myself some more time. But I did all the care plans, and including this month, I had to do another 3 months since the last care plan, so I had all the care plans up to date.
And were they signed by
the family?
The family, and who else?
And the nurse and me.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that you said the patient was on hospice, the resident was on hospice. I'm assuming they were probably bed bound or chair bound, and that's why
you got
cited for the other one.
Authorization from the doctor and request from the family to have them in the house.
And how often do we do that? How often does that
happen? Every 6 months.
Yes. Are you up to date now with the doctor?
Yes, I do, and I have the resident.
All right. And you're up to date with all the service plans?
Right.
Do you still have a resident who is a patient under hospice?
Right now, I don't have any. They are out of hospice. They got better somehow, so the hospice couldn't keep them on, so they're out of hospice.
All right. Thank you.
As the DHH said, that I was doing a very good job with taking care of them.
Thank you. Yes, Dr.
I just don't see anything. The recommendation would be for a letter of concern, but I don't really see anything.
All right. Just in your letter of concern?
It's up to, I mean, I just put it out there.
I don't even know if that's necessary. I think the understanding is there that I understand trying to save money for the family. You can use hospice nurses even to sign a service plan and not charge the family. So that's probably that's a good idea. I don't see anything.
All right, would you like to move?
Sure. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 2021-95. Against Mariana Belon.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the board find insufficient evidence for violation of complaint number 2195. Roll call, please.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Stephen?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
And President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. So, Randy, can please mute in between your vote, please?
I am on mute all the time, except when I vote, it must be somebody else.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am too.
All right. Maybe it's me. Okay. All right. The next case up is 2196 Jennifer Hernandez. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you bring the mic over in front of you, please? Thank you.
You're welcome.
and you need to remove your mask so we can understand you, please, and just identify yourself.
Jennifer Hernandez.
Thank you. Staff, would you present your case, please?
Yes, this is case 2-2196. On June 11th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Aurora Gardens Independent and Assisted Living located at 160 North Canada, Green Valley, Arizona. Jennifer Lynn Hernandez was identified by DHS as the manager of record for the facility. On October 12th, 2021, Ms. Hernandez noticed of a complaint by email and regular mail. Ms. Hernandez failed to submit a written response. On approximately July 19, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil fine penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee Aurora Gardens Independent and Assisted Living for the following substantiated violations. One employee had no documentation of first aid training.
All right, Ms. Hernandez, were you present at the time of the inspection?
Yes.
And what was your census of the residents and house?
I don't remember an exact number, maybe 72, 73.
All right, what are you licensed for?
91.
91, okay. Can you explain to us why there was no documentation for the first aid training? How did that slip through?
They had the CPR, but the car did not have first aid. So it was missed. But after this was noticed, if I can just explain, so HR did in service with her employees, the director of HR, that if it's not on the car, they do have to call and also find out if, you know, because if they may have gotten it. There was a little misunderstanding where it said also like child CPR, so they explained on one of the people that we called, I called one myself, that that was taken in addition to the CPR and first aid. So they did an audit. Going forward, they have every month, they send me the expiring attributes in advance so that anybody that's coming up due, there's sufficient time to make sure that they're both, myself, their managers, are making sure that they get that on time so it doesn't happen again. They've even taken to sending weekly updates, so as some of the people turn in their documentation, then the list gets smaller, of course, with the remaining ones for that month.
Can you explain why you didn't answer DHS in the time frame?
So I got an email and I sent over, I emailed back all of the, like my, everything that we did. So the in-service that HR did, my plan of correction, all of that. I did send it from my work email, not here, but, and it's been a while since.
You sent it to the NCIA board?
Mm-hmm. Because I had gotten the email stating that I had gone to enforcement, and I don't recall exactly all the verbiage, but then I got together a whole packet of everything that I had turned into DHS and emailed that back. And then it was some time that passed before I received the letter stating that I was directed to be at this meeting here today. I mean, I think to forward that when I get back to Green Valley.
Then did we get it?
I'm looking right now.
Okay.
I mean, it's, I can look at my phone when the original email was from, so it's been a while.
Sounds as though you have a large facility.
You found it. When did you receive it?
October 15th.
I was like,
the complaint was open 3 days before that.
Okay.
So you sent it prior. Gotcha. Sounds like you have a large facility. I'm assuming that you have HR in the galley. There's a lot of mumbling right there, these two. If you need to talk, can you take it outside? Yes, thanks. So you have, I'm assuming, a maintenance director, dietary director, HR director, nursing director, all of that, the same that you would have in a SNF. What happened with the evacuation drills? Do you sign off on those with your maintenance director? How was that missed?
So that I take, first of all, I know that my license, my name's hanging here. So regardless of what happens, it falls on me, it's my responsibility ultimately. With that, I did misunderstand. So we do our regular disaster drills, but this was an evacuation drill. And I thought that for COVID, I had misunderstood apparently that we didn't have to actually evacuate because you wouldn't want people gathering. We continued with our other drills. So that same week that DHS had come, we did an evacuation, a complete evacuation, and then set the date for our December drill. So December 10th, I think, whatever that last Friday was, we did a complete evacuation drill. The next one will be in June, so, and alternating shifts as well, so we'll do it in the afternoon and daytime. So it was missed, and that was my fault.
But you still did a disaster drill, you just didn't evacuate?
We had done the fire drills or the it doesn't always have to be a fire drill. You could pretend that it was some sort of outage. So those were done, it just wasn't the evacuation of the whole facility. So I did receive a deficiency for that. And then the deficiency that I'm here for today is the missing.
And so your decision to not evacuate was so that you wouldn't have congregating people?
I thought that we were not supposed to do that. So I should have not just assumed, and I should have looked into it further, made a phone call or something.
Everyone agrees with you on that. Yeah. Unfortunately, DHS never took that off the table as a requirement during COVID.
Yeah.
I applaud you for, you took a deficiency for it, but I would not have evacuated my residents as well. But unfortunately, we don't get a say in that.
No. We just tried to do, I think most of us, I speak for most of us, tried to do the absolute best we can during the situation that continues, unfortunately. That's a pleasure to work.
I would, if there's no other questions, I would just move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-96 involving manager Jennifer Lynn Hernandez.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 21-96. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca.
Aye.
Board Member Archer.
Aye.
Board Member Stephen.
Aye.
Board Member Randolph.
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion is carried. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Scott.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move now to Gerald Hamilton. Mr. Hamilton, please come forward. All right, would you introduce
yourself, please? Sure. I'm Michelle Hamilton.
Thank you very much.
Staff,
if you will present, please.
This is case number 2197. On May 27th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Beehive Home of Snowflake, located at 33 North Port Street in Snowflake, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. On November 22nd, 2021, Gerald Hamilton provided his written response to the notice of the complaint. He acknowledged being the facility manager of record and stated he does not manage enough second facility. On approximately July 19th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil fine penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. One employee CPR training was expired. The employee had no documentation of first aid training.
All right, thank you. Mr. Hamilton, were you present when DHS did their inspection?
No, I was not.
All right. And do you know how many residents were in-house at the time of the inspection?
There were 9.
And what were you licensed for?
15.
All right, thank you. And how much time do you spend physically in the facility, in person?
Very little. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and for the bulk of the time period between our initial license and time of the survey in New Mexico, we were under orders from our governor to quarantine. If anyone left the state, came back into the state, they had to quarantine and isolate themselves for 14 days. Under penalty of involuntary seclusion or isolation by the Department of Health if they didn't comply with that. And so for that reason, mainly, I was not able to go or travel and be present in the facility. I was in contact with the manager and the owner on at least a weekly basis, sometimes several times a week by phone or by email about issues regarding the facility.
Is your designated manager the owner of the facility?
No. There was a designated manager there in place that was managing the facility. He was out sick at the time of the survey, so he was not there as well. And so
there was no manager?
There was no manager there. And the employees that were referred to in the DOH report were literally frontline staff that had no knowledge of where policies and procedures were, where things were in employee personnel files. And some of that information was subsequently provided to the surveyor after the survey.
Question, how long were you the manager of this facility?
I'm manager of record up until about a week ago.
Right, or give me a time frame. A year, six months?
From the time that it was initially licensed, which was May 2020.
So from May 2020, was there ever a gap where there was not a manager physically present for 30 days or more? And that's easy verification.
Sure. Yeah, there was a period where there was a gap of more than 30 days.
I'm sure that there were plenty of periods, right? Yeah. What does the regulation say about that?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. So just so you know, if a manager is not physically present for a 30-day period, they have to find a different manager. And the board has to be notified within 30 days. None of that happened. I take great concern that you live in New Mexico. How are you managing the quality of care being rendered to these residents in this state from a different state? And all of these issues could have been avoided had a manager been present at the facility to oversee what was going on and to give a good orientation to, as you had mentioned in your testimony, the scared staff that were all new that didn't know how to respond to DOH.
And I would respond to that by telling my intention and the owner's intention was for me to be the manager of record there for a very short period of time. Because of COVID issues and location of the facility, it was difficult for them to hire another manager. They've done that with my help, and they have a license or a manager with a current certificate, as well as a manager that had formerly had a certificate that's in the process of reinstating that. We have two people on site that are.
So that's all fine and dandy, but none of that was in place.
Correct.
During this time, and these are residents that we are responsible to make sure that they're getting quality of care and they're paying for a service. I don't think any of this was free.
No.
So I take issue with that, because there were multiple violations that occurred.
Are you hanging a manager certificate in this state currently?
No, and my intention is to let that certificate lapse when it comes up for renewal. I own and operate several of these other facilities in New Mexico and have people managing those for me there. I don't need to have a manager certificate in Arizona.
Okay.
I would say education, but then I would question, how is he going to get that education here in the state of Arizona?
Yeah. Well, he can come back and get it.
Am I correct that you said you are no longer the administrator or the manager of this facility?
Correct.
Do you manage any other Arizona facilities at this time?
No.
And you intend to let your license lapse in 2023?
When it comes up for renewal.
Which is 2023. How would you see yourself carrying out any continuing education in the state, and why would you do that if you no longer are managing here and you intend to drop your license? Why would you just give up your license right now?
I would rather let it lapse than have me be forced to surrender the license. The only reason I maintained the license in any way in the first place is because I operate with Beehive Homes. Beehive Homes is a franchise system, and I operate with them as in an area representative role, where my role there is to advise new franchise owners and help them get their operations up and running. At the time that I began that 15 years ago, I felt like it was advantageous for me to have a license so that I knew the regulations, I knew what the process was. I don't need to have that license. I don't intend to ever own or operate a facility in the state of Arizona. I do intend to continue my role as an advisor, you know, in an advisory capacity, and I've done that to help 10 or 11 beehive home franchises open and get their facilities licensed.
So what you see is the problem of giving up your license at this point. You don't need a license, if I understood you correctly.
Correct.
You don't intend to use a license, yet you want to keep it just in case.
There's no reason for me to keep it. I would voluntarily surrender the license if that's the pleasure of the board.
I would just say either way. I mean, we can make the recommendation to just do the education, and if he chooses not to get the education done, it's pre-approved and by the executive director of the board, then it would have to be moved over to formal hearing.
Charles, I would agree with providing a motion for additional education, and then he can decide. You can decide whether or not to sign the consent agreement. You may also wish to discuss with board staff once the motion is made, since you know a voluntary surrender is considered a disciplinary procedure. So he may choose to go the other route, but that would be his choice.
Correct. So I'm prepared to make a motion if everybody's okay with it. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 4610, AACR 433407A and B1 for professional conduct and complaint number 2197 involving manager Gerald Hamilton. The board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, the state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $402, 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval requirement, documentation completion in each of the following areas: communicable disease and emergency safety standards, any cost of the probation or those of the certificate holder.
I second the motion. Motion been made and seconded. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Board Member Stephen?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
Motion carried. Now, Mr. Hamilton, you'll have the ability to talk to staff and decide what you want to do.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So my understanding is that I'll be receiving a notice.
Yes, you will.
To me, how to follow up.
You're going to receive correspondence from staff. There was a total of 6 hours of continuing education. When you get that, we can talk then if you have questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is Cheryl Kelly here? Sharon Weeks? Rhea Mateus?
It's Rhea.
Please come forward real quick. All right, staff. Rhea, I'm sorry. Would you just identify yourself, please? Rhea Mattis, thank you.
This is case.
Sorry, this is case 21103. On April 28, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility complaint investigation at Carriage House on West Garden Lane, located at 395 West Garden Lane in Snowflake, Arizona. Rhea Mateus was identified by DHS as the manager of record for the facility. The complaint investigation identified two deficiencies in two different areas, and compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in 4 different areas. On November 5th, Rhea Mateus provided her written response to the notice of complaint. She acknowledged being the facility manager of record and stated she does not manage a second facility.
All right, were you present at the time of the inspection?
Yes, I
Yes, I was.
And how many residents did you have in-house?
Approximately 27.
All right, and can you explain how you failed to ensure that medication was administered to a resident in compliance with the medicine, with the medical order?
So, I don't have control over what my night staff did. I was not present in the facility at the time that the caregiver took upon the responsibility of giving medication that was not prescribed to the resident. I did not receive a phone call that night stating that there was an issue with the resident, which is protocol. And I'm unsure why he decided to do what he did.
Is that employee still employed?
No, he was immediately released.
Did you notify the department, APS?
So the route that it went is the family was concerned. They came in. We contacted the employee and found out what was given. They took the resident to the doctor's office to get a labs done. That was sent off to, we filed a police report, but they didn't want to press charges, so they dropped it. And it was filed as a complaint further down the road when they were upset with, I have no idea why they were upset actually. but they decided to file a complaint about the incident months later, and then relocate the resident immediately after they filed the complaint. So I didn't notify anyone else other than law enforcement. They took it from there. I do know, if I'm not mistaken, the law enforcement also notified up their chain with the state, and I'm not sure as to where that case is going.
Because I would view it as abuse. And I would have notified APS, me.
At what point in time were you aware that the night staff caregiver had?
Immediately the next morning. I followed what the family wanted to do. I went off of what their comfort level was, what they wanted to do. They first wanted to find out what was given. After finding out what was given, and I left it up to them. They honestly didn't want to file charges against the particular person. The wife and husband both worked for me at the time, and they really enjoyed the staff, and they didn't want anything further to happen. So I just left it in the family's hands. It was up to them at that point.
So you didn't know it happened until, how'd you find out? Did the family call you and say someone gave my, what, resident or my family member or something?
When the resident family members visited that morning, the resident had said to them that the overnight staff had given her a liquid medication that was bitter. She didn't know what it was. The family called the staff on the call button. My supervisor at the time went in, had a conversation with the staff. Notified me, and I came over and visited with staff, and we contacted the employee that had given medication, and we found out what was given. I called the family while they were at the doctor's office to let them know what our findings were, and they just went from there.
How much time do you spend at the facility?
Too much. I lived there on site for 10 years. I just moved out 3 years ago. I'm there every single day.
During the day, though, but not at night.
Not at night. Not anymore. Not since I moved out.
All right.
Who does your service plans?
I typically do all my service plans. We've been family-owned and operated, so it's kind of a small employees. I do have staff now hired on to help me carry that load as well.
Because this was a repeat deficiency from 2019, and you just testified that it was yours for 10 years, right?
Right.
So what are you doing to ensure that you do not have another repeat deficiency on your service plans?
I have hired more staff to help me in the office because it's a lot to take on.
That's all I have. And again, if it were me, I would have reported to APS. You're more than welcome to do so today at your leisure, whenever you so desire. If it were me, I would have reported to APS. because I would have looked at that as abuse.
Did I hear correctly that the doctor's office was called right away?
Yes, they went to the walk-in clinic.
And then they drew blood at a walk-in clinic to verify. Did you call the doctor?
I did not. The family had already had her loaded up to go. That was what their decision was, to find out what was given. Well, I contacted the night shift to find out what was given.
And how, I guess my, for me, you don't have control over somebody when you're not in, I mean, we ultimately have control, but in a moment, I can't make a decision for another human being when I'm not in front of them. What are you doing differently to educate your staff if something happens that they would feel the need to randomly medicate somebody?
So most of my staff know better than to do that.
Most of them?
Most of my staff now. The one that did this...
I would probably have used the word all.
Sorry, all of my staff, I apologize for that. All of my staff know that I'm number one contact or hospice is. This resident was not on hospice, but they're not to give anything unless they've contacted me to verify that it is okay to give or that it's on their medication list and verify.
And what would you do if it's not on their medication list and they call you and say,
they aren't allowed to give it unless it has a doctor's order.
Okay.
Madam
so
President.
So what is your...
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Where did the medication come from?
So it was out of an e-kit that belonged to another resident, which is located in a supervisor closet, which is locked in a refrigerator. So...
And access, this person had a key and
yes.
Was... Thank you.
And to follow up to that question, and again, why I would call it abuse, was the resident's medication that was taken from on access or Medicaid?
No.
No. Did they pay for the medication?
They were on hospice, so hospice is a
which
hospice.
Is a Medicaid
oh, yes,
benefit, right?
Yes.
Medicare, Medicaid benefit.
Yes.
So that's theft.
Which is the other reason why I know that the law enforcement, because when I specifically talked to our chief of police, he said that they...
Which is why I would say APS.
Right.
Strongly.
So I guess to follow up on that, was the hospice notified that medication had been
yes.
used from another resident?
Yes.
Okay.
I think for this one, Madam President, my only concern on this case other than that, because you really can't control what someone does in the middle of the night, by not terminated them, I would have notified police, I would have notified APS, I'd have gotten everybody involved, because then they can take their fingerprint card, and they can also put them on that registry that you can't hire them ever again in
right.
any other facility.
That's right.
But for this case, the biggest one that I think for her is the service plan,
that's
because
exactly
it's a repeat
right.
deficiency.
That's exactly right.
So I think some education.
Education on her service plan is appropriate.
I still have concerns over how this will be prevented in the future.
You mean the medicine?
The medicine is a repeat deficiency, and I guess I haven't heard her say, I've heard you prompt her to say, but I haven't got a real confidence that the staff that is there understands what they must do. All of them, all of the time.
So I have a follow-up question. The caregiver who administered medication without a doctor's order, did you ask why they did it?
We did, and the reason is because he felt that she needed something to help calm her down.
Okay.
To help calm her down because she was very anxious during the night.
Again, that's why I would report to APS, because that would make me concerned, and I will share with the board, that this gentleman can do that again somewhere else.
So,
he's not a licensed physician. So for me, that makes me uncomfortable. Again, I would go with service plans and potentially medication management. Because whether we're there or not, no matter how large of a facility, No matter what the incident, it falls on us.
That's right.
Show the in-service that was given, enforce it, do it, live it, breathe it, walk it daily.
So Board Member Stevens, we're advocating additional education and service plans and minutes.
Can someone tell me maybe what the quality assurance area would consist of in continuing education? I'm not sure I'm knowledgeable enough in that area.
Madam Chair, Board Member Stephen, the compliance of the probation. So if the board in any case issues continuing education, 3 hours in one subject area is 6 hours total. Those continuing education classes are pre-approved by staff, by the executive director, and then we try to make sure that those classes are completed within the time of that probationary period, that it's normally 3 months after the order is signed. So after that's completed, we terminate the order, we say that they've complied with it, and there's no other quality assurance checks after that education is completed.
As far as the education portion for quality assurance, it would train the manager administrator on how to properly institute, monitor, and maintain a continuous quality management program.
It would seem to me that that would be an area that would have to be added to the recommendation, because this is an ongoing issue, and I think a better quality assurance program for the facility seems, from my point of view, to be necessary.
I think that I agree with Rich on that. My feeling on the medication management is the manager, once she became aware of an unfortunate situation, appeared to do the best that she could and tried to do the right thing. She also expressed her new protocols of how she's going to handle this in the future, and you know that no medication is given without her being notified if there's no physician order. I think that the issue more now is the repeat deficiency on the service plan. So I would recommend 3 hours of service plan and 3 hours of quality assurance.
Okay.
All right.
Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446-10A, CR 433-47A and B1 for professional conduct, complaint number 21-103 involving manager Ray of Mateus. And the board will consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of certificate to stay suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $400, 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval requirement documentation, completion in each of the following areas, 3 hours for service plans,
3 hours.
And 3 hours for quality assurance.
Right. Is there a second?
Any cost of the probation or those of the stricken holder?
Second. Member Peter, second.
Okay.
Or third.
It's been moved and seconded for continuing education. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Stephen?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried.
We're going to send you some paperwork.
Okay.
Give me a call if you have questions.
Okay.
Thank you for coming down.
All right, the next case up is case number. Caroline Kabuki. Is she here? Is Caroline here? You didn't sign in, so I almost didn't call you. Please have a seat. Will you identify yourself, please?
Caroline Karaoke.
Okay.
Christopher Njoroge.
I'm sorry, who?
Christopher Njoroge.
And what are you? The owner?
The designee.
Designee.
The designee. Okay, thank you very much. Staff, will you present the case, please?
Yes. On July 13, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection and complaint investigation at White Rose's assisted living located at 951 West Saragossa Street in Chandler, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 5 different areas. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. The complaint investigation identified 1 deficiency and 1 of 2 allegations was substantiated. Caroline Kuroki was identified by DHS as the manager of record for the facility. On December 3rd, 2021, Caroline Kuroki provided her written response to the notice of complaint. She acknowledged being the facility manager of record at the time of the inspection. She no longer works at White Rose's assisted living and currently does not manage a home. On approximately August 23rd, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure 1 employee had current documentation of CPR and first aid training certification.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. I thought you were looking for something else. All right. I have a question. When did you stop being the manager of the facility?
October 1st.
October 1st of what year?
2021.
All right. Did you notify this board?
Yes.
All right. And how long were you a manager there?
Since July 1st of 2015.
Of 2015?
Yes.
Were you present when the inspection took place?
No, I wasn't.
All right.
Is there a reason why you weren't present for the inspection?
Christopher is the designee. At that point, I had work at night, so I was not available.
What kind of work do you do?
I work at Ash. Arizona State Hospital.
As?
A nurse.
Are you available at all times if staff need you?
Yes. Usually I communicate with Chris via phone, and I also go there once a week. It so happened that day I was not available when he came.
Are you a registered nurse or a practical nurse?
Yes.
Which one?
Registered.
So why the 2 repeat deficiencies?
Honestly, not to make any excuse, I apologize for that. It was an oversight. It happened during, COVID. So that's when they were not offering in-person classes, but you could do the hybrid. And I failed to follow up to make sure that the certificate came. So, humanitarian, and I'm not trying to make any excuse. Me and Christopher, we talked and we implemented a form where we put in the personnel forms to make sure that we are checking a checklist. Because sometimes you can think, oh, I check and I truly, you can forget. So we made a checklist to make sure that every week we are looking through and that doesn't happen again.
What about your service plan? Because if you're the manager and you're an RN, you can sign off both and then have the resident sign. What happened to your service plans?
We had another nurse coming in to do that because I was not able to do it, at a time, full time.
When you have to submit a response to DHS for a deficiency, I think I have the understanding, but I could stand corrected, that you say that you will ensure that that deficiency will not occur again. They don't say, gee, I'm going to give it my best shot. And yet you had 2 deficiencies, is that correct?
There were five deficiencies, like five different areas, two that were repeated.
So it sounds to me again like the quality assurance issues were not being addressed by you. You've been an administrator of that, or a manager of that facility for 7 years, something like that. And yet you had repeat deficiencies, which jeopardize the residents you're serving.
I agree with you. I think I understand the CPR, first aid, the in-person classes, which is what we're required to do, may not have been readily available during COVID shutdowns. The service plans, however, as a nurse, like Dr. Filarenka said, you can sign your own service plans, which takes a whole 5 seconds. You had somebody else coming in to do it, as you didn't particularly have time. My question is for the designee then, if you're the one who's there doing day-to-day hands-on caregiving, do you fill out service plans? Do you assist with that?
We do. I normally check every month, make sure everything is done correctly.
And so when you wrote your plan of correction for the deficiency last time you had your inspection, what did your plan of correction say that your monitoring system would be so that the service plan was never missed again? That had to be part of your plan of correction.
Correct. Now what we did is...
No. This one's for her. What did your plan of correction say was your monitoring system so that you would never miss the date of a service plan again?
So it was during the COVID time, and what we had done, we had hired a full-time assistant to come and, you know, help with Chris. Because he's there throughout.
Did you write your plan of correction from last year?
We did.
Did you participate in writing the plan of correction from last year?
Yes.
And what did your monitoring system that you said in your plan of correction, what does that say?
We'll implement a form to make sure we are not missing any of these items.
But that didn't work.
Part of the question is, what's your tickler file? How are you writing it down? How you document it? You're an RN. If you don't write it down, it didn't happen, right? So what's your tickler file to look at every 6 months, look back a year from now? But how are you tracking that?
Like make a form from the last time when we did it and go all the way back again. It's a learning experience, and I apologize that happened again. We'll make sure it doesn't happen again.
So you didn't have any tickler file? There's no way for you to track that in the plan that you wrote?
We designed that, but I don't have that right here with me. I just have the one for the personnel form,
who make it. Just from memory. How did you do it? If you don't remember, just say, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I would be good with some education. Okay. I mean, I think there's a lot of good things happening. I think there's just some holes that need to be filled in.
Okay, thank you.
And the two repeats would be the service plans and the CPR, correct? So personnel requirements.
Service plans.
Okay. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.073, ARS 446.10, AACR 433.407, A and B1 for professional conduct, and complaint number 21-104 involving manager Caroline Corrick. And that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, the state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation of all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $437, 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas: service plans and personnel requirements.
Is your second?
Any cost of the probation or those other certificate holders?
Second. It's been moved and seconded for continuing education. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Board Member Steven?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
And President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Madam President, before we move on, and members of the board, for those people who continue to talk out there, it's kind of like being in church. Write a note if you have something you need to say. Everything bounces in this room and we can hear you. It's also being recorded. Please stop talking. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. You'll receive information.
Thank you. Yes, I'm going to send you some information. If you have questions, give me a call, okay? Thank you for coming down today.
All right, case number 2110, Nancy Donga.
2105.
Oh, 2105.
Is Nancy back?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read the whole thing. That's my fault. 2105, that's right.
Okay. Now we can talk.
No, it's okay. It's fine. All right. Would you please identify yourself and take your masks off so we can understand you, please?
I'm Nancy Ganga, and I'm the manager on file.
All right. And you are?
I'm Catherine from Withy. I'm the designee.
Would you use the mic, please?
I'm Catherine from Withy. I'm the designee.
The designee.
Designee.
All right. Staff?
Can you spell that last name for me?
My name? K-A-M. K-A-M-W-I-T, Paton, H-I.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, staff?
On July 19, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Alvaro Valley Assisted Living Home, located at 1521 North Silverbell Road in Tucson, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 4 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Nancy Ganga was identified by DHS as the manager of record for the facility. On October 26, 2021, Ms. Ganga was notified of a complaint by email and regular mail. On October 27, 2021, Ms. Ganga responded to the notice sending a letter from DHS stating that her plan of correction was accepted by the department. More staff followed up with her via email on October 28, 2021 and requested more information. And I'm just going to add, Ms. Ganga spoke to perform with more staff about the complaint on approximately December 21st, 2021, and we allow her until December 29th to submit a response to the notice of complaint. It should be noted that Ms. Ganga may not have fully grasped the steps that I started to follow the complaint, and I think she was a little confused between DHS and the NCIA board. On approximately August 23rd, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil fine penalty of $500 upon a facility licensee with the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure a caregiver provided documentation of completing their caregiver training program provided by the Department of the Board of Examiners for Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Managers for 1 of 5 personnel sampled. That's right. For DHS, sorry.
All right, thank you. Did I understand, Steph, did I understand you correctly that you asked for additional information in October and it was December till she responded back to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us why there was such a delay?
I'm so sorry about that. When I was out of the country, I went to Africa. I could not actually access a computer. So it was so hard that I could not, you know, on the phone you cannot get all the information. And that is why I say, I was like, I don't know how to open this email so that I can get the whole information and respond within the time.
How long were you out of the country?
I was there for 1 month.
For 1 month?
Yeah.
And during that 1 month, were you the designee?
Yes. But the problem is, I'm the only one who got
certified. Time out. Are you a certified manager?
No.
So for 1 whole month, you were gone. 30 days, you just testified to it, no manager was present. Your designee doesn't count because there's no licensed certified manager on the wall at that time.
It was not, no, it was...
No, you just testified that you were out of the country for a month.
Yeah, but I came back exactly on the 29th day. I was back into the country. I can show my itinerary.
Perfect. I would like that to be given to board staff because I'm not buying.
I'll send my dates of travel.
But you still have to have a designated manager named who is licensed.
Unless they're out for 30 days.
Unless you're out for 30 days.
That's why I want to see.
Is she a caregiver at all?
I'm actually a registered nurse. I've also attended the manager's license training, but I haven't done the board. So I have the knowledge.
You haven't taken the test yet?
I've taken the test. I've taken the test.
So you're not certified as a manager, so it doesn't count.
Yes.
Okay.
But you are a certified caregiver.
I am. I'm a registered nurse in the state of Arizona. And with that, I don't think I need to take the caregiver.
You can take a bridge class, but you still have to have the training. As a manager, yes.
Madam Chair, board members, would you like to continue the matter to get that information?
Perhaps we should do that. If we may do that, we'd like to continue this case so we can get the information from you, the documents that you returned to the United States, to Arizona, to your facility on the 29th day. And you're going to get us that information and give it to our staff. And then we will take that and then we will rehear this case next month so that we can make the proper determination.
So I can't send it right now?
You don't send it right now, but you need
to have access to
get
it
and send it to me right here on my phone.
They've probably driven up from Tucson today. Did you drive up from Tucson? So that's...
Did you pull that up on your phone?
Yeah, I have my...
Perfect, we'd like to see it.
Actually, I've produced it over 3 weeks, not even a month.
Not even a month, Chair, I knew that. Could we take a little break?
It has to be a really quick break because we're losing the quorum at noon. All right, we'll take a 5 minute break.
Is that you? Would that be okay?
Yeah, 5 minute break. We are in a recess.
Hold on. Let me get this stuff.
There's two.
How do I?
I kept those records locked. The other ones were available, and so we didn't decide for those ones.
So the four that were cited were all registered?
From the second company, correct.
And you weren't present during the inspection?
I was at the other facility.
Which you just testified was about a mile away.
Correct.
Is there a reason why you didn't leave there and come over?
Typically, yeah. I mean, I would have been heartbeat, but typically when I'm providing care or wearing gloves or whatever it is, my phone's on silent and I'm focusing my attention on the residents.
So you're on the floor?
Yes.
Gotcha.
You're saying they didn't notify you because your phone was on silent?
Yeah, they did attempt to, but I was providing care, so I didn't. Look at my phone
during
that time.
Gotcha.
So, what is your policy and procedure for obtaining resident privileges for food and provisions?
So now we do that upon basically admission. We go through and we ask them those questions. I've got the documentation to show that we went through and collected all that data, and now that's part of our move-in process.
All right. Was this your first inspection at this home?
Outside of the initial inspection, yes.
Okay. What's the pleasure of the board?
I think that he has everything in place. I think he had documentation. He knows what documentation is. Unfortunately, he couldn't leave caring for the resident to get it. And because of that 2-hour rule, he got cited for it.
Right. And then what about the opiate?
Yeah, the opiate is from the executive order from the governor on everything you're supposed to have and provide for. He's fixed that.
I think a letter of concern.
Yes, a letter of concern. And would that be on maintaining proper documentation? Okay. I'll make a motion. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of the violation in complaint number 21-107 against manager Brady Gerard, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is that the manager failed to have adequate documentation on opioid administration and follow-up.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the board issue a letter of concern. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Board Member Steven?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
And President Campbell?
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Next up is Stacy Newell. Okay. We've got 30 minutes to get through everybody, if we can. So be prepared to come up as soon as I call your name, please. Carl, would you identify yourself?
Yes, my name is Stacy Neva.
Okay, Steph, please present.
On July 26, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection. And on July 27, 2021, off-site documentation review was completed at Adagio 2 Endeavor AL, located at 5328 East Anderson, Scottsdale, Arizona. Stacy Newville was identified by DHS as manager of record for the facility. Ms. Newville started her appointment at that facility on November 20th, 2020, and ended her appointment on July 19, 2021, 1 week before the survey. On October 26, 2021, Ms. Newville was notified of the complaint by email and regular mail. Ms. Newville failed to submit a written response. On approximately August 23rd, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 upon the facility licensee, Adagio 2 Endeavor AL, for the following substantiated violations. Number one, the manager failed to ensure a caregiver who was able to write and communicate in English was on the assisted living facility's premises. Number two, the manager failed to ensure a medical record was maintained for two residents. That's my conclusion.
All right. Were you present at the time of the inspection?
No, I was not.
Can you tell us why you weren't present?
I didn't work there.
You're right. But you had just quit. So what you were written up for, you were responsible for what they found. All right. So can you tell us about the documentation of the caregiver? Why it wasn't documented that they had passed a caregiver training program?
There's a long story behind all this that you guys don't have time for today, but suffice it to say, what this boils down to is that the owner was Chinese speaking. She had a difficult time sometimes translating into English. I had a heart for this. I also have a heart for the residents there that things were in a complete disarray when I took this facility over. There were a myriad of things that the owner continued to undermine me and do behind my back, up to and including hiring staff that I didn't authorize, trying to operate one wing of the facility as an Airbnb because she wasn't making enough money.
Okay, so let me just stop you right there. My question for that would be, you as the licensed manager have a choice. You can continue or you can resign effective immediately and remove your license and certificate from the facility.
Correct.
You stay on for 8 months. Am I correct?
Yes.
Looking at the dates
here. And I can explain. First of all, I just got my management certificate in November, the month I was hired there. Okay. I'm not going to excuse any of this. I was the manager on record. I totally get that. I felt comfortable taking this position because there was another gal that came with the Chinese gal that was the owner to my interview. And
She presented herself as being a management company. They were just, you know, looking for someone with the legal license. She said she's been doing this for years and whatnot. So I came on more to look at the day-to-day things, and it wasn't until I'd been there for a couple of months that I started to realize and get into some of the other areas, like the medications and the paperwork and things like that. And I started to question things, and I would be, you know, told, well, it's our name just as much as yours.
How large of a facility is this?
10 clients.
Clients, and it took you 7 months into this to start reviewing med records? I'm concerned.
I was told.
You had 10 people. How many were there?
At that time, 2.
So you had 2 residents, and it took you 7 months before you got to reviewing the records? I have issue with that.
Okay.
I do. If it's only 2 individuals, talk to the board. If it's only 2 people, and I come in, it literally takes me an hour at most to do a quick review. And to even review how many staff are there to look at the records to figure out what's going on. And then if you're there and you continue to be there and they're operating an Airbnb outside of an AL, I'd have removed my license instantaneously without notice. But you stayed.
I was told I couldn't do that. I was told I had to give 30 days.
No, ma'am.
By whom?
DHS.
No.
I called them.
You called DHS?
Yeah, and they knew her by name. They said, oh, well, is this so-and-so? And I said, yeah, this is so-and-so.
And they told you you had to give 30 days?
They said that, well, yeah, because that's what I'm now under here, is they said, well, you were the manager a week before this, and you're responsible for giving 30-day notice, and since this inspection happened within 30 days, you're responsible.
You have to notify this board and DHS.
Yes, and I did.
Within.
You should have told me DHS you wanted to see that regulation, because there isn't one that says that.
Yeah, within 30 days, you have to notify us and them that you're not there anymore. You also have to notify us and them when you take over facility within 30 days. You can't be held to 30 days to remain at facility, placing your license or certification in jeopardy.
I didn't notify you guys immediately when I left.
Perfect.
And I notified you immediately when I took over.
Perfect.
Was the owner the person who was cited as not being competent at speaking English?
I don't believe so. She had, at that time, I think she had about 5 or 6 mostly Chinese-speaking residents, and she wanted to make sure that she had employees there that could understand them. The problem is they mostly spoke Chinese and not a whole lot of English, and I told her that was unacceptable. I got rid of 2 of them before another one was brought on, and I could understand her enough that it would be fine.
Are you hanging a license now?
Yes, I just hung a license, and you guys were notified the day of, as was DHS.
And is that going better?
It's an amazing, immaculate, brand new facility in Fountain Hills, and I love it.
And so when you walked through that door, what did you do differently this time as opposed to last time as a new manager?
I'm a little wiser now.
And so what did you do for your own checking things out?
Right. So we've been, we've written the policies and procedures. I mean, I'm in this from the ground up at this point. I can build it. I'm not taking on somebody else's backlog of mistakes. There's been no resident in there so far. We just got our first resident on Saturday. I was there. I did all of the intake paperwork myself. We had all of her documentation for the most part in place even before she sets foot on our premises. It's a whole new ballgame.
And did you write policy? Did you help write policy and procedures for this?
With a company that the owner hired to do it, I was involved with that process, yes.
Is
So do you hire and fire at the new facility where you now work?
Not the first caregiver that's there that is our lead. He kind of came with the whole thing, but from another property that the owner was familiar with. She'd been using him a long time.
Okay.
The newest employee just started on Thursday, and yes, I was part of that interview process.
Okay, can you tell us why you didn't conduct a disaster drill every 3 months?
Okay, and some of the missing paperwork and whatnot, I'm sorry, I'm a little all over the place in my thinking right now. A lot of that paperwork was there. The issue being, I was using a computer system by the name of SyncWise, okay? My caregivers were trained on it. They were doing ADLs, all of their notes to me, medication, Lamar, everything was in this program, everything. And I liked it that way because I could access it off site if I needed it for anything. And there were a lot of times that I would have to call doctors or POAs or whatever off site, and I had info with me. I loved it. The owner is more retro and would prefer paper. And when I left, I set up a new login and password for whatever manager she was going to be getting, so that they would have access to whatever I had in the documents through the computer system. That new manager contacted me one time. We went over just a little bit. I told her kind of the areas to find different things, and she said, okay.
So why didn't you do the disaster drill?
The disaster drill was in there, is what I'm trying to say.
There was documentation there, and whoever was there when the inspector came could not find the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you write that up in DHS and tell them that?
Well, she wasn't part of the plan of correction then.
Well, I would have done it anyway. If it was my license, I don't know
There was a little, I will be honest with you, there was a little confusion for me as to, was I responsible or not. I really look at it as I wasn't, because I was not there. It wasn't until later that someone got back to me and said, you were there a week before, and so really this does fall on you and such and such. And by then, the new manager had already submitted, the plan of correction, so.
So it sounds to me like you knew you were going to leave because your owner was not going to be compliant with you.
Yeah, I have been threatening to leave since May, and I had tests.
Set everything in place for the new person coming in, which most people don't do, I will tell you that. And they just couldn't find it. They couldn't figure out how to get it out of the system.
And then shortly thereafter, maybe within a month or so of all of this, I tried my old login to SyncWise to see if I could get some of that stuff. She has discontinued her.
Well, that would have been a HIPAA breach, and that would never I would never recommend that.
Either.
But it's the old shoulda, coulda, woulda kind of deal, right?
It is.
And you were there. You were supposed to be there. These things didn't happen. You weren't satisfied, and the owner is doing all of these, what I would say, are illegal activities. I would remove my certification immediately. You chose to stay. You ate the apple. You ate the steak. Now you got to pay for that. The owner's not here with you to defend you. They didn't hire an attorney to come with you. I know that you're new. Unfortunately, sometimes you learn the hard way. But again, it's...
I have a question too. So, Charles, just dovetailing off of your comments there, did he have that connection with you? I mean, do any questions. But did you have an answer to notify your boss that you can leave prior to your sure?
I'm sorry, he's cutting on, but I didn't understand.
I didn't hear that either.
Yeah, can we state it, please? Can.
Did you hear me?
Sort of.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Did you notify your owner that you intended to leave prior to your departure?
Absolutely.
And how long did it take, or how long before your departure did you notify the owner?
I told her at the end of May that she had 30 days to find a new manager. She said she would find them. Within that amount of time, we had another situation come up with a resident that I got entangled in trying to help the POA and her get through it, and tried to get her out to another facility because it wound up being a mental case, and I was down at recovery innovations doing some things and whatnot. So I got sidetracked because I got deeply involved with that, in caring for that resident and making sure they got the care they needed. In about 3 weeks, I asked her again. I said, have you found anybody? I'm out. I do not want to be here. Have you found anybody? And she said, no, I'm taking the manager classes. And I said, that's going to take too long. No, I want out. You know? And so it was just a few weeks after that that I quit. You know, so it was, you know, 3 weeks entangled in this other thing. And then I gave her 3 weeks more. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm out.
And what would you do today?
Today?
If that situation arose someplace.
Well, now that I know I'm allowed to drop and leave, and that I have a little more control than I thought I had at that time, being a manager, yeah, I'd be speaking up for myself a lot sooner. A lot sooner. But
so
what happened.
All right, so am I hearing you correctly, it took you some time to really start understanding that some of the problems that you identified you couldn't fix because either the owner wouldn't address them or was undermining you and making decisions on their own?
Yes.
You know, did this all happen the first month you started, or did this take a number of months for you to really identify what was going on?
It took a number of months for me to identify it because many times it would be presented to me as, you know, oh, I didn't understand you. You know, I didn't understand that's what you meant or what you wanted, or whatnot. There was excuse after excuse. And, you know, I'm a dummy. I have a heart for people that are in that predicament. And I chose to believe her for some time until I started finding out a few extra things. So, you know, and it takes some time for these things to unravel. It just does.
Yes, I understand that.
Thank you for
what you said. I really think that what I'm seeing here is a person was trying to do the right thing. She was new as a manager, wanted to do the right thing. Had an owner that was not behaving properly or supportively of her. It took some time for her to truly identify this. She did provide notice ahead of time to give the owners some latitude to be able to identify a new manager. I think she did the ethical thing by staying for a while because at least there would be a license or a certificate manager. I think that she could have done a whole different at this point. I really don't see anything in this case.
Do you wish to dismiss? Can?
Yes.
That would be your motion. I'll be happy to make it for you.
Yes, please.
So I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-108 involving manager Stacy Newville.
Second. Susan, why don't you give me a second on this one, okay?
Okay, yep.
The motion has been made and seconded. For
dismissal,
roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
Board Member Stephen?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you. I appreciate you hearing me out. I really do.
All right, thank you. Next up is Brendan Cody. Brendan, I'm 21-110.
Thank you.
Yes, it is.
Maybe he's whitewater rafting.
All right, would you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, I'm Brenda Cody.
Thank you. Seth, would you present, please?
On June 3rd and 4th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility complaint investigation completed at Allegiant Healthcare of Phoenix, located at 1880 East Van Buren Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Brenda Cody was identified by DHS as administrator record for the facility. The complaint investigation report identified 12 deficiencies. On October 27, 2021, Ms. Cody noticed of the complaint by email and regular mail. On November 12th of 2021, Ms. Cody submitted a written response to the notice of complaint. In her response, Ms. Cody indicated that there was a breakdown with the licensee nurses not performing their duties as required. Remedial education was conducted with licensee nursing. I'm sorry, that should be part of her response. Approximately August 23rd, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee. Allegiant Healthcare Phoenix LLC, Allegiant Healthcare Phoenix LLC, for the following substantiated violations. Number one, the facility failed to ensure one resident maintained their highest practical well-being by failing to ensure the resident was free from neglect. That concludes.
Thank you, Madam President.
Yes. I just want to go on record. I know Mrs. Cody. I have no independent knowledge. Therefore, I can remain on the case.
All right, thank you. Ms. Cody, were you present?
It's a sniff. The letter says assisted living, but it's a sniff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Ms. Cody, were you present for the inspection?
Yes, I was.
All right, and what was your census the day of the inspection?
83.
83, what are you licensed for?
120.
120. All right, and I have a question about one. They wrote up 12, but only fined you for one. That's interesting. So, how did you, in your plan of action to remedy all of this, what are you doing to make sure care plans for the resident R910 is revised based on change of the resident's comprehensive assessment? How are you changing the plans when you do a new assessment of the resident?
So we immediately after the complaint, we started doing very frequent audits on the care plans to make sure they were being done, and now we're doing them randomly. We also discuss care plans weekly.
All right.
Let's see. I see you as an administrator with the responsibility, again, of oversight for all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I read in the reports that you just said, well, it's a breakdown of nursing and carrying out their responsibilities. Mm-hmm. As a large facility, what have you done to create a quality assurance program that assures you that those duties are being carried out on a regular, responsible way?
We do have a quality committee. We were meeting monthly, but now we meet quarterly. But our IDT team meets every day and talks about ongoing issues with our residents. The resident that this complaint was about, the nurse just didn't communicate what his need was at the time. So now it's just making sure that we're getting constant education
so you
to our
stand
nurses.
Up, stand up, stand down,
yes,
whatever,
yes,
you want to call that meeting
every
day.
Morning. Yeah. With a clinical meeting right after, where we go into clinical issues.
So can you tell us why there was a breakdown? Were they just not? getting the information? Were they not communicating with each other? Or what was
so she had out? Put in her charting that the resident had been seen attempting to remove his mitt, and she never verbalized that to anybody because we will escalate at that point. If we need to put a sitter in place, we'll do that. But she never alerted anyone that he had tried to remove his mitt before.
But so she did document it. She documented. Didn't tell anyone. So exactly. You can implement her claim immediately.
Exactly.
Okay.
Is that part of your policy that you have in place that if a resident were to be doing this and a nurse had documented it or seen it, the policy is that they have to notify administration so that you can follow up?
Yes.
With those actions?
Yes, yes. They are to stay with the resident to make sure no harm is done and alert, you know, appropriately the physician, myself, or director of nursing, and we can implement the next level, which in this case would have been a sitter for this resident.
And so that didn't occur with this nurse.
No.
Is the nurse still working for you?
She is. She did go back to PRN. She was full-time at the time, but she is PRN now.
And what was the outcome of the resident?
He passed.
Have you changed your director of nurses out lately?
She will be with me, it'll be a year next month. She started in February of last year.
Was this prior to her coming on?
No, she was there because this was June. She started in February.
And this is on a ventilator unit. Mm-hmm.
What was there an order for the mitts to be used?
No, that's the other problem, is that there was no consent or order for the mitts. The resident had only been with us, I think it was 47 hours when the unfortunate and the incident took place, and we had not obtained the proper documentation, nor did the nurse explain that to the family, the risk and benefits.
So who made the decision to put mitts with, or consider restraint?
Came from the hospital with them, but we still needed to have gotten our own order and consent from the family.
And so the hospital didn't send any, like usually they send med orders and all of that. They didn't send anything.
They didn't.
Stating that patient.
They usually try to withhold them for a certain period before sending them to us. So they say they were restraint free for a numerous period of time, but you know, so no order or anything came with. So we should have obtained one ourselves.
And what I guess, like we asked everybody else, what would you do differently if that happened again? Somebody shows up with mitts and you don't have the order.
We would get an order immediately. I probably wouldn't even have the mitts on until we got one and got the consent signed.
Okay. So immediately you would remove them.
Right. And if we needed to put a sitter in place, depending on the resident's situation, if they could cause harm to themselves, we would put a sitter in place until we could get the appropriate steps.
Do you do rounds in your facility with you and your DON?
I do.
And go through, do your quality inspections?
Yes.
What are your responsibilities for monitoring this sort of activity?
I kind of missed part of that.
Can you restate that, Ken?
What is your director of nursing's responsibilities for daily monitoring of activities such as we're discussing?
So she is now doing a daily audit of all of our residents that are in need of this or a sitter to make sure everything is in place. She's done that since this occurred. And then she does walk the floor frequently as well as my assistant director of nursing. Both of them are frequently grounding.
Okay, so this is subsequent to the inspection. I'm assuming that you can tell me what was she doing prior to the inspection to try to catch this kind of a situation?
I don't know that I could really answer that. I'm not sure if she was doing random audits or not on orders and consents. I would like to say yes, but I don't want to say something I don't know would be true.
So, if you have a new admission coming in, mm-hmm. that's going to this unit, because we'll focus on this, within 24 hours, are you, your DON, someone in charge, laying eyes on that patient, making sure you have, there's a checklist, orders have been verified, they've got orders for the restraints, all of that good stuff?
Yes.
And you have that in place? Is that part of your walking process now?
Yes, and actually, we extended our clinical meeting to review all of the new admissions from the day prior to make sure that orders are in, even on a patient requiring dialysis. We want to make sure that we have an order for every type of treatment we're providing to our residents.
And did you do an in-service with all of your nursing staff regarding use of restraints?
We did, the direct care staff, yes, we did.
Didn't know if she wanted to add anything.
Just a quick question. So who's managing your vents there? Are your nurses managing the vents or RTs?
RTs.
So they're probably in the room a couple times?
A lot, yes.
Okay.
We have a director of respiratory therapy. And, depending on, I think our ratios are like 1 to 10 for the RTs, for the respiratory patients.
So if I read this, you've implemented new policy and procedures or processes. Is that that they weren't there, the processes, or weren't adhered to, and so you?
Probably a little both, to be honest. They were probably a little mucky or haven't been reviewed, I would say, prior to this. And unfortunately, this brought it to light very quickly that we were not reviewing the orders and making sure that all of our ducks were in a row on our residents.
So you get verbal assurance that they're all in place. How do you track, monitor, keep control of on an ongoing basis so that you can demonstrate to DHS your quality is in place, and in addition to your personal attentions, here are the records that demonstrate we are tracking those things that are critical for you. Well-being of the patients we serve.
So we, when we do our clinical meeting in the morning, we're not, I won't just take someone's word for it. We all have our computers out. We're going through our PCC to make sure that the orders are actually there. And then when we have our nurses, whether it be our charge nurse or MDS, do their audits, she will do a printout of that. And then we have those in binders of all the audits that we're doing for the monitoring. Did I answer your question?
Can I add to that with her? Is that all right? Because Charles, Dr. Charles had been with me before.
Well, just introduce yourself, please.
And you need to identify yourself because I have no clue who you are.
I'm Lynn Summers. I'm a registered nurse. At the time, I was the vice president of clinical for the organization. So I was there with Brenda hand in hand. And she's correct. The policies that were in place at the time were outdated, no longer applicable. And so we did a complete revamp of the consent policy, the reason, the assessment, why a consent would be needed, implemented them with education to not only the licensed nurse, but the CNA as well, to assure this. And as far as how are we being sure those restraints are being washed, I cohorted with the respiratory team. Most of those residents have missed because they've gone airway. Who's in the room the most? Respiratory. So respiratory knows who's on restraints, and they know to look for them, or if they don't have a restraint, assure that they don't need it because of their level of consciousness. Thank you.
So it sounds like this is a very high acuity, and we all know that if they do pull out there, as Erwin was here, they're going to not be with us much longer. It sounds like she's identified an issue, she's involved her regionals, she's got her VPs on board. Unfortunately, it was a negative outcome, but it doesn't necessarily mean that someone's responsible, unfortunately. Things happen. This was a nurse who did not identify it and follow proper policy and procedure. I probably would have fired her myself. You chose to keep her, that's your choice.
Okay. What's the pleasure of the board?
I guess I have an issue with just saying that the recommendation we have before us is insufficient evidence of the violation, but a letter of concern. I believe she is, as you said, taken control of the situation, developed the appropriate plans and the policies to keep this from reoccurring. At the same time, how do we reflect that a violation did occur? I mean, there was potential harm occurring. It was dealt with, and it sounds like it's being managed appropriately from my perspective in an ongoing way.
Can
you reflect that in the letter?
That would also be in the complaint notice from DHS. DHS would have indicated that there was actual issues, and they cited them for it. For us, with dealing with that manager, I wanted to put that into the member of the motion. You absolutely, you may.
So
I think the authority had a revisit, didn't they?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we did. And they promised to be back in compliance.
Okay, so Rich, I think that would be sufficient evidence that the corrections that they made are satisfactory, that would hopefully give us some assurance in the future that if they continue to follow those, they're going to be okay. I would say, like, on an element of a letter of concern would be something like the administrator failed to obtain an order for a restraint, something of that nature.
Okay. Well, quick question. How long have you been the administrator there prior to this?
It had been almost a year. I started in August of 2020.
And have you been an administrator before that?
Kind of, but not really. I had a temporary license, and I worked at Sante of Surprise previously for 3 months, so not very long.
Okay. So when you stepped into a new position and a new license, what kinds of things did you do from the get-go? Obviously, part of this policy and procedure and your protocols were meeting updated. From the time you stepped in, tell me what activities you did along the way.
Mostly,
we conduct a whole survey here and analyze everything you've done. Number one, and number two, my battery's going dead. So, we'd like to get it back.
Does that be on your hearing
aids? No. Okay, you're on report.
So, I guess you were in the process of updating and upgrading, is that correct?
Yes.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so how are we going to word the letter of concern? Do we do
that?
Still
the
insufficient
evidence? The board can just craft a little language and I can finagle as long as you give me a basis of what your concern is.
Okay, well, the concern is failure to provide adequate oversight. No. Of obtain an order for
restraints
or minutes.
Okay, that's what I'll put in there.
Yeah, okay.
Proper.
Yeah.
You okay with that? Are you okay with that? All right, that's what I
move. Okay, failure to obtain an order to utilize the MITS.
Does that sound correct, to utilize the MITS?
Yes. I would say that the administrator failed to adequately to ensure adequate documentation.
The administrator failed to obtain an order for a restraint. Just keep it simple.
Okay.
That's the board's concern.
Yeah, that was our concern.
Well, and that there was actual policy in place for that, because I think she even testified that it was kind of iffy, and so they fixed all of that.
May I address the board quickly? The policy that was in place and still in place, and a portion of that policy states that we had 24 hours to obtain a physician's order. He didn't have his mitts on until like 12 or 13 hours prior to that time. And so what happened was, yes, we didn't get an order, but that was not a concern at the time because of our policy. It was the failure to explain the risks and benefits to the family member.
Got you. I can make the motion. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and complaint number 21-110 involving Administrator Brenda Cody that issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is that the administrator failed to ensure following her policy for the proper use of restraints and consents.
Peter, second.
It's been moved and seconded to issue a letter of concern. Roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Kidder?
Aye.
Board Member Stephen?
Aye.
Board Member Archer?
Aye.
And Board Member Randolph?
Aye.
And President Campbell?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay, is Brandon Stone here?
Madam President, we're past time. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
How long can you stay? And Fred, is your battery almost dead?
My camera just passed through the building, so I need to drop off real quick.
All right.
So do you want? I think there was one request. I know we still have people here for the agenda. But do you want to move to item 9, get that done?
No, item okay. 9, your executive report, no.
Okay. 9 is the board election.
Budget update and licensing?
Board elections.
Oh yeah, no, that's 8. So no, I'd rather do that next month when I get everybody here.
Okay.
So, if that being said, we're going to, we will move everything we have not heard to next month, but with the ones that are present today will be first on the agenda next month. And the folks that I have here today is Rosemary Friend and that's it. Is Reagan Stone here? Delaney Brooks? William Fisher? Kathleen Conley? Rosemary Friend. That's the only one left that's here. Can we hear that case quickly?
It depends on.
Can you have you got 3 minutes or you need to go right this minute? Because if you do, I'll adjourn the meeting.
No, let's go ahead and do it.
All right. Rosemary Friend, will you come forward, please? This is the last case we will hear today, and we will adjourn as soon as we dispose of this hearing. Please identify yourself.
Rosemary Friend.
Thank you very much. Staff, present, please.
On August 3rd, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Country Villa LLC, located at 802 West 4th Place in Mesa, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Rosemary Friend was identified by DHS as master of record for the facility. On November 25th, 2021, Rosemary Friend provided her written response to the notice of complaint. She acknowledged being the facility manager of record and stated she does not manage a second facility. On approximately September 29, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed civil money penalties of 0 upon the facility licensee for the following substantive violations. And I'm not sure if that's a mistake there. I'm going to look at my record. The number 1, manager failed to ensure caregivers skills and knowledge was verified and documented before the caregiver provided physical health services for 3 of 3 caregivers sample. And number 2, the manager failed to ensure before providing assisted living services, a caregiver received orientation of specific to the duties to be performed by a caregiver for 3 of 3 caregiver sample.
Thank you. On line 500. All right, Ms. Green, were you present for the inspection?
No, I was not. I was in the hospital. I'll make this real quick. I'm responsible. It's my manager's license. When I first took over in May, I submitted. I ran several homes, always got perfect ratings. I just took this home over, and unfortunately, I had to be quarantined because my fiance passed away with COVID. I could not go near any of our residents for almost a month.
So you took over in May of 21, and this was, the inspection was August 3rd. So who was the manager before you?
I have no idea who the manager was before me. Let me, please, I'll make this real quick. In May, I was quarantined because my fiance, he had COVID. Yes, he passed away. In June, so then I went in and I asked Ruben, the owner, for the books, because it's my responsibility. I want to go through everything. I started going through the books. Then in early June, when I was going, it was the end of May when I went in and asked for everything. He said he had somebody cover for me while I was being quarantined. Early June, I was taken to the hospital. I was going through the books. I ended up with a stomachache. Thinking of stomachache, I was taken by an ambulance because I had pancreatitis. I was admitted to the hospital for a week. After that, well, you can cover that. I ended up with a prolapsed bladder. So I go back to the group home. I start where I left off, going through all their files on the residents, on the patients, the caregivers, making sure everybody had fingerprint, CPR, TB, all that we're supposed to do. My bladder's falling out. I end up in the hospital again. Well, because of COVID, a prolapsed bladder is not an emergency. So now I'm in bed for a while. The soonest St. Joe's could get me in would be in October. So I'm working from bed. I get someone to drive me because if you could just imagine your bladder falling out, I can barely walk. I go over and I try to do as much as I can going through this home. I ended up having the surgery. 2 weeks later, I had heart surgery. So I'm back at the home and I could show you.
No, well,
I'm going through the stuff. I'm taking responsibility. I'm just saying why I wasn't there.
You don't need to take responsibility if you weren't the manager of the home.
I was,
for
as of May.
2 months.
Well, as
the
of
inspection.
May.
It's not fair to you. So someone else is responsible for that inspection.
I took over the home in May. The inspection was in
August.
Yes.
August the 3rd. So
yes.
What day in May did you take over?
It was the beginning of May.
All right.
And then I got quarantined because of Barry getting COVID.
So you've 90 days and you have an inspection. But they're finding things that you probably didn't even know existed. So
I agree.
I'm just saying, I want someone responsible, but I don't know that it's you because you've only been here 3 months. It doesn't seem fair to me to say that all of this has been written up when you weren't there.
Thank you. Because we've never been in front of you before and have all said for
normally, these inspections are yearly, and it's a year to year to year. And you,
can we answer a simple question?
Yeah.
The person you got cited for was missing orientation and skills and knowledge.
Yeah.
And verification.
Yeah.
Are you the one who hired that person?
No. I haven't hired anyone.
Madam Chair, I would move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation dismiss complaint number 21-118 involving manager Rosemary Friend.
I second.
Thank you.
The roll call, please.
Dr. Villafranca.
Aye.
President Campbell.
Aye.
Board Member Stephen.
Aye.
Board Member Archer.
Aye.
Board Member Randolph.
Fred. Board Member Randolph. Oh, his phone might have died.
Board Member Kidder.
Aye.
Board Member Randolph.
Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't appear that he is on the phone.
And that means we've lost quorum.
That means we've lost quorum. That is correct. But we can rehear this case, I think.
You can remake your motion beginning of next meeting.
The beginning of next meeting. And in the meantime, I would like to direct staff to find out who was the manager.